We saw you pop up on the injury report Wednesday with a knee issue. Can you tell us when that injury happened and how you've been dealing with it?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. You know, these last 2 days, felt good out there at practice. Feeling good now, and you're ready to go for Sunday.
Did that happen during the Texans game, or is that at practice?
Yeah, I think, you know, injuries are something that you don't really try to share with the media, so looking forward to Sunday.
High noon here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. It's Patriots Friday. We talked to Jeremy Springer, Patriots special teams coordinator. If you missed any of that, it's on the Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Get it on your phone, free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. While you're on there, go right onto the WEEI page. There's a little microphone there. Click on the microphone. You can leave us a voicemail, if you will, up to 60 seconds, where you can rant and rave. You can yell at us.
Sure.
Give us thoughts on, I don't know, a variety of topics.
Anything
our Bozo
goes.
Touchdown Parlay.
Yeah.
Our Jeremy Springer interview.
Whatever you want.
Answer
a four-pack question.
Odd love for uniforms. Answer a four-pack question. Exactly. Yeah. You can do that right on the Odyssey app. We can revisit those later on in the program. You hear Drake May there.
Yes.
I just find it interesting. Maybe it's not significant, but I find it interesting where he suffered the injury. Was it in the game? Was it in practice? And he wouldn't go there with the reporters.
Right. He was told not to go there, clearly.
He was definitely told not to go there. But I don't get that. If we know he has an injury, why does it matter, like, from an advantageous standpoint compared to the opponent? You don't want to give the opponent too much information. Why does that matter? Like, if they know his knee's hurt, it's on the injury report.
Yeah.
Why would it be an advantage for Jacksonville to know when it happened? I'm just curious when it happened.
Yeah, me too.
I don't think it gives them an advantage to find that out.
And I guess you could guess either way, right? He got hit a lot in the game, but he played the whole game.
I'm guessing it happened in practice just because I didn't see anything with his knee during the game.
No.
That doesn't mean that's not when he did it, but I didn't see it.
It's not like he's wearing a brace or anything crazy, and whether you believe he did or didn't get an MRI, like, all signs point to him playing in the game on Sunday. It's just a matter of, you know, how much pain is he dealing with? Can he do everything that you would want him to do? Like, we don't even know if Alex Van Pelt would design runs for him.
He didn't last week.
Right, so maybe he would, maybe he wouldn't, based off of his knee or just based on, you know, what he looks at the Jaguars defense. So I think he'll be fine, but it is one of those weird things where in the sports, like, we don't talk about injuries, but we also make it clear to all the gamblers every week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, there's an injury report which is made public, which says how much we practiced or how much we didn't practice and what the injury was.
I don't get this. $10 shake, Twitch chat.
Yes.
It's none of your business, none of your or our business, Jones.
Maybe he's just joking.
They're already telling us he's hurt. Oh, you think that's sarcasm?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I would think so.
I don't know about that.
Maybe not. Hard to tell sometimes. But there is an injury report every single
week.
That's
what I'm saying.
And if it was such a secret, then they just would have lied about it and been like, he's not on the list. And then we never talk about it. We never ask
about it. He's not wearing a brace. He's moving around fine. They didn't have to put that on the injury report unless he had that MRI. I think he did at this point, don't you?
Well, Mayo didn't say no. Yeah, I think it would have been an easy thing to shoot down.
Nick, do you have that? Can we play that for the people? We played this earlier in the show. Gerard Mayo on the MRI for Drake. Like, if Drake May didn't have an MRI, there's a real easy answer. You say, no.
Gerard, did Drake have an MRI? And if so, was he in pain? What would cause to send him for an MRI?
I'm not going to get into any of the medical imaging or anything like that. What I will say is I'm confident that he'll be ready to play tomorrow.
But was it bothering him?
You have to ask him that.
Okay.
All right, so
they did ask him, but not about the MRI.
But the head coach should know if the quarterback is dealing with an injury.
Yeah, if he doesn't,
but
that's
more
significant.
I just don't think he wants to answer it, clearly. But here's my Keefspiracy, and maybe you don't think he's thinking this big picture.
Oh.
No, if he says no this time, then next time there's one.
You think he's thinking it through this far?
No.
Meaning
no, I don't. But play it out for a second.
Okay.
If he says no to this one, and then 6 weeks from now, somebody's like, hey, there's a report that another player got an MRI. And he's like, well, I'm not here to talk about that. Then he'd be like, whoa, he confirmed the one, but not this one. So then read between the lines. But you're right, probably not.
I don't think he's thinking that far ahead, but I understand why you don't want to dabble in answering every single report, because that could set you up for failure.
As much as you don't want to be like Bill Belichick, you're starting to realize that there are times when just saying nothing and snorting into the microphone might be the better way out.
Yeah, well, again, you know, transparency, honesty. We're going to give you all that, and then...
Well, when it helps us.
They're not doing it.
And now we're 1-5, and I don't really want to talk about that.
And so we talked about, like, the challenge for Gerard Mayo, and I want to get back into that, because I do think this is a big week, challenging him with how he handles players in the lineup.
Yeah, it's huge.
How does he handle guys who are in London? Javon Baker wasn't at practice today.
Oh, boy. What's going on with that?
So was he on the trip?
I don't know. I don't know if was he on the plane? Do we have any sources in the plane? Do we have any plane sources?
I don't, but it's like, oh,
you guys
God,
know
like,
anybody who works for Kraft One?
I have no idea what's going on, but it's like the first thing I think of is, wait, he's not out there? What's going on with that?
Well, was it last year?
Here you go. Javon Baker missed today's practice due to an illness. Did make the trip, but it was due to an illness. So that's Mark Daniels. Okay,
maybe he had
good.
Some bad fish and chips.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be that.
Tough flight.
Yeah.
Maybe he tried to raw dog the flight, and then he was just like, this is
could be the
terrible.
Time change. And so it's like, how does he deal with stuff off the field? How does he deal with just all the logistics of juggling this trip? Again, we'll get to that coming up.
Yeah.
But the question you asked about Drake May and what's on his plate and what he can do, if he's 100%, Or something approximating that, 95, 99. I don't think he's 100%. He's on the injury report. And I believe he had the MRI. So how limited is he and how do you scale things back? Because I'm with you, Keith. If it's all systems go, they should be much more aggressive to start this game than they were last week because
yes.
of where Drake May finished
yep.
that game.
100%. Now, it sounds like Ramondre Stevenson might play, which is a huge boost. That's way more significant than Javon Baker.
We told you earlier he was on the practice field. What we didn't tell you is that he also spoke to the media. That's probably a good sign he plays, which surprises me, but that's probably a good sign he plays.
That's a great sign. And I think that alone, even if you get some of those conservative play calls from Alex Van Pelt, like say that's just so ingrained in him, I think a simple handoff to Stevenson versus a simple handoff to Gibson is way more likely to get you some yards. So if Drake May has that and he's dealing with a lot more second and five, third and twos, like that kind of thing, way better than running to the back of the line of scrimmage, running to this line of scrimmage,
of
and
course.
Then third and 10 heave. So Stevenson could make Drake May, whether Drake May's knee's bothering him a lot, a little, or not at all, his whole day so much easier having him back.
So what are your expectations for Drake May? We did this last week.
Yep.
You settled on like 17, 20 points, offensive touchdowns.
20 points was what I went on, and that was against Houston. So they're going up against Jacksonville. So I think 24 points. I'm shooting for 24 points. I know that seems like a lot, but...
No, I said earlier, so you're putting an actual number on it. I give you credit for that. I said mid-20s, which is more like nebulous. I have more of a sliding
24.
Scale. 24 is right.
So I think that's three touchdown drives, if you guys are doing the math with me. Three touchdown drives.
24 offensive points.
Or is it just four touchdowns, no extra points?
Ooh.
They go for two every time, get stuffed every time. No.
I wouldn't love the getting stuffed, but the four touchdowns, yeah, that'd be good.
So three touchdown drives for me, and that can be, you know, one Drake May pass, two Stevenson runs, or flip it. It doesn't matter. Hopefully a Drake May run with our Bozo parlay.
That's true.
A Joey Sly long field goal, and then one turnover. Like, let's not get crazy. No turnovers ever! Like, it's a rookie quarterback.
He's probably going to turn it over.
He's going to throw picks.
Caleb Williams lit them up last week. He still turned it over in the game.
Exactly. So I just would love to see, if it is an interception, I want it to be like a trying to make a real play down the field, and you kind of like tip your hat to the defense. Like, pretty good coverage. Trying to get it in there to a receiver. It didn't happen. But throws a pick, taking a chance, not... Oh, doesn't realize there's a backside blitz and the ball squirts out and it gets recovered.
The Spencer Rattler, as they call
that. Yeah, I don't want
one
of those.
Or even
what happened to him last week.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to see that. But I think, you'd be crazy to think he's not going to turn it over. And starting with three turnovers, like, all right, so if you chisel that down to one, like, that shows signs of improvement.
So I think 24 is about right. Mid-20s, like they should be scoring three offensive touchdowns in this game. I wanted two last week. Jacksonville's worse. Add another touchdown. So 24 to me sounds like the right number. One turnover. You're allowed one. This is Jacksonville. You turned it over three times last week. That was too much in a vacuum. Okay, that was too much anyway.
Yep.
You should not turn it over more than once. Meaning Drake May. If Ramondre fumbles again, that's not Drake May's fault. But
do you know how many turnovers the Jacksonville defense has caused
They had a pick last week.
Yeah.
I'm going to say turnovers, two or three?
Three. They've never had more than one in a game this year.
Okay, so
three.
There you go.
If Drake May turns it over more than once, he'd be the first quarterback to do it this year against the Jaguars.
Okay.
Not to take everything away from the keys. Actually, that wasn't even in there.
Don't blow up the keys.
I don't want to give away all the keys right now. But no, they're not a defense that turns
you over. That's a friskier Jaguar than the one you're going to see on Sunday.
Just had a whole bunch of
they're not going to
blue airheads.
So I think that's a great line. Like, you're not
soft puppy.
Don't turn it over more than once,
yep.
Whether it's a fumble or an interception. Don't do that, Drake May. Mm-hmm. That's a good line. And the other thing I would say, and again, this is non-specific, but I think we'll know it when we see it. Drake May had one real drive in a competitive game, one scoring drive in a competitive game last week. They didn't score the whole first half. Then they get in the 2 minute and he scores. And it was a great drive and a great throw. And you go, okay, he scored in the 2 minute where Jacoby couldn't. He threw the ball down the field, which Jacoby and Cam Newton and Mac Jones, like none of those guys could do. Bailey Zappe couldn't do. So he gets a big play down the field in his first start. Those are all great. But then you start the second half. He has the ball with a chance to tie the game. They're down 14-7.
Yeah.
You can go tie the game.
And they almost did.
Unaware of the pressure.
Oh, no. He fumbles right away.
Fumbles it away, right. It's a route. And yeah. So I need Drake May to produce when the game is competitive. It's a one-score game either way. I need him producing in that environment. Hopefully they're not down two or three scores like they were a week ago. And if they're up two touchdowns and he's tacking on, you know, I'll give him more leeway for that.
If this game
I need him to produce when the game is competitive.
If this game is lopsided either way, like, holy smokes, what does that say about the team that's losing?
The other team, bad things.
That's a bad story.
I mean, for
story.
Jacksonville, it means your coach is fired.
Yeah.
And for
Matt Jones is probably starting the next week.
Yes. And for the Patriots, it means we're
look out below. No, oh, they are shooketh. I'd be shooketh.
And depending on how much of the problem Drake May is in that game, we might come in feeling a lot differently than we did after the Houston game. I felt good coming out of the Houston game. If he plays the exact same way, three touchdowns, three picks, and they lose by three touchdowns.
That'll be all of us if they lose to the Jaguars.
If it's the exact same thing, we feel terrible.
Which, we asked this question, was it last week or the week before, about why the spread was the way that it is. Why do you think... Oh, no, they were favored against Miami, and we were asking why. I'm not shocked that they're underdogs here, as bad as I think the Jaguars are, but why do you think it's six?
I don't know. I mean, why do I think? I think it's purely about travel.
Is it just that advantage?
Yeah, and Vegas has the Jags win total when I checked on Tier Tuesday.
Yeah.
Their win total is 6.5. The Patriots is 4.5.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just think Vegas views Jacksonville as a better team. I'm not sure why.
I would think like three.
And they've been there the whole time.
Like if it was Jacksonville -3, you'd be like, yeah, all right.
Right.
Like six is like, what am I missing here about this?
Jacksonville favored is not outrageous.
No.
I would still take the Patriots money line, but Jacksonville favored is not outrageous. Favored by 5.5 and now 6.
I'm going to have to get in. I'm not going to go all in like Nick did against the Texans last week.
You're not emptying the account.
I'm not going to empty the account on this one, but maybe more than a hand.
I also did it before Drake May was announced a starter. So when Drake May was announced a starter, I did not feel great about
you
it.
You were shook.
He tried to withdraw. He tried to cash out.
Cash out. Yeah. But it was like, I had to take a $20 hit or whatever. I'm like,
no, you can't do that.
Yeah, you can't do that.
No,
definitely can't do that.
So I think, yeah, I don't know. I think the bet is Pat's money line, isn't it?
No, me too. And so
two hams, three hams, five hams.
How many hams you want? You're still rolling in hams after the Bozo touchdown parlay a few weeks
That's
ago.
True.
So rolling in hams.
I got hams to spare.
Hams to spare. That's exactly what you got. So look, it's not a must win or anything like that for the Patriots, but
it's not in that sense, because that sense always sounds like for what to make the playoffs. Like nobody's talking about the playoffs, but it in a weird way kind of is for the season. Like just the way, like it'd be six straight losses, and specifically because of the opponent. Like that's what I look at it. It's not the Bills or the Chiefs that you're playing this weekend. It's the freaking Jaguars. So if you lose this one, I just feel like your head's kind of spinning at that point, because then your next game is against New York, which will be a team that already blitzed you, and now they added Devontae Adams, and it'll be his second game playing with the team.
Yeah, not great.
That's not great. Now, at Tennessee, this is kind of like a much easier game than maybe what it looked like at the beginning of the year, but still, at that point, you're 1-7. I don't know. That is rough stuff.
So, again, is it a must-win? Not in the familiar context, but you're going to feel a lot better about a win, and you're going to come in really questioning everything on Monday if they lose to the Jaguars. Keith, this week's Verizon matchup between the Patriots and the Jags, if you had to pick a matchup in this game, what would you focus on for this weekend?
I would just say Drake May, kind of, you know, one of the things Alex Van Pelt, him against the Jaguars defense would be sort of my very simple matchup. But Alex Van Pelt talked about in practice, he said, I forget what the exact example was, but basically he didn't give him a little heads up on what he saw the defense was doing. And Drake May was still able to adjust, get it all blocked up, make the right read, and throw a touchdown. So it's just another week for Drake May to sort of read defenses, get him in the right, you know, blocking schemes, but also in and out of the right plays. So I think it's just with him, like, is the game, you know, his second full game to play, do things slow down a little bit for him or not? Or are there times where you watch him and you feel like he's getting overwhelmed?
Yeah, and I mean, not for nothing, there is tape on him now, right? Like extended tape, not just one drive at the end of the Jets game, or preseason tape. But now there is tape. So how does he deal with that? I still choose to focus on Christian Gonzalez. I already told you how much I like Brian Thomas Jr. on the other side. Does Gonzalez follow him around? Yeah, you saw Christian Gonzalez just give away a touchdown last week against Stephon Diggs, where he's standing there like a statue and got roasted. So to me, that's the matchup I want to see. I'm curious how Gonzalez fares in that one. And I didn't think last week was his best game. So we'll see if he can bounce back. Again, shaky quarterback play in Jacksonville, but a really good receiver.
Twitch chat saying the same thing. Brian Thomas versus Gonzo.
There you go.
I don't know if you could say that name. Probably.
What? Gonzo?
No. The name of the person that messaged that?
Oh, I think you can say that.
Clappy Cheeks 10?
Yeah, why not?
All right.
I don't know. Can't say Clappy Cheeks 10?
I'm always fearful of what you can and can't say.
That's true.
You know, there's a lot of things that I'm not sure about.
We were canceling the announcers on the Cleveland Yankees game already.
Aggressive. Big Christmas? 2024?
I think you could say Clappy Cheeks 10.
All right. That was a good suggestion then.
That was a great
Brian
suggestion.
Brian Thomas versus Gonzo. You can join Clappy Cheeks in the Twitch chat right now at twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Come up with your own creative name as well.
Yeah, it's limitless potential there. Yeah.
Almost all of them are radio friendly. There are a few that I kind of pause. Also, I don't have great eyesight, so sometimes if it's like all lowercase from here, I can't even read.
So like Dill Pickleson 66.
So I know Dill Pickleson 66. I've seen him in the chat. Him or her in the chat.
Yep.
Good stuff. Dark and Stormy Nights.
Too many of them are offensive that I can think of off the top of my head. But yeah, it's usually pretty family
Moose
friendly.
Moose Soup and Everything is one. Can I say that, Nick?
Yeah, no, I think that's allowed.
I mean, you just did.
I think the content in there isn't always the most family friendly, but the names are usually pretty family
friendly.
Keeps
you on your toes, though. I like that.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
That is true. The Verizon matchup, by the way, brought to you by Verizon, the official 5G network of the New England Patriots. It's Pats and Jags this weekend. The game's in London, which means it's another issue that Jerod Mayo has to juggle this week. So, will he pass the test, and can this team turn it around down the stretch?
Jalen Polk, Jerod was saying earlier this week that he kind of has to get over a mental hump. Do you see it that same way with Jalen? What's he have to do to get over that mental hump and start getting defended?
Yeah, I think success always gets you over that. You know, he had a couple drops in the game, uncharacteristic of him. He's a rookie. You know, they're all young guys right now. Just got to figure a way to overcome that and, get back to focusing on what he can do well. And that's a lot of things. So, a lot of times you put a lot of pressure on these young guys when they come into play, especially right away as a rookie. And, you know, he needs to understand that we're asking him to do that because he can't do it. And I think, as he has success moving forward, I don't see that as an issue. But it's tough. You know, it's hard for any rookie to come in. And we put a lot on him. We ask him to do a lot, highlight him a lot as the number one in our progressions. So there's a lot on his plate right now. So finding ways to spread that responsibility around to other guys, maybe lighten the load on him a little bit. But he's going to make plays for us as the year goes on. There's no question in my mind.
How's Alex Van Pelt discussing Jalen Polk? Calling out the coaching staff the other day.
Sure did. He's limited right now. He's limited? Van Pelt just said he's the number one option on most progressions. He's like the first read on most progressions.
The last few weeks. I don't think that's going to be the case this weekend.
It shouldn't be.
No.
But also that is Alex Van Pelt politely, I think, being like limited.
Pushing back. Yeah.
Like, how are you limited?
Yeah.
Like you maybe get open or catch or stay in bounds.
Yeah, when you're open, on the rare occasion you're open, why don't you hold on to the football
and
keep your feet in bounds?
He's third on the team in targets.
Mm-hmm.
He is sixth in yards. Sixth in yards. So he's not exactly making the most of those targets. He's fifth on the team in receptions. And so, he's not been productive. You know, he had the one touchdown week two. He had the near touchdown against Miami.
Which, by the way, we would feel way differently about Jalen Polk. If he had the walk-off winner, basically, against Miami, we would feel a lot differently.
Oh, yeah.
But
he part didn't. Of, and that's also how he handled it, and he didn't know the rule. Doesn't know the rule.
No, part of why it turned on him so quickly and maybe why it carried over to him last week is because he didn't.
But even if he had that catch, how many yards out was that?
Oh,
not a ton.
What, another like five-yard touchdown?
Yeah. So he would have had two touchdowns. We would have felt differently. Maybe they win that game, so we also feel a lot differently.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. But he would have still had 11 catches in six games for a guy who thinks he has the best hands in the league. I just think you got to sit him down because he's played poorly. And even some of the other stuff that maybe not everybody cares about, but if he's not blocking, Like, if you're not out there on the field on those, like, Ramondre runs, or whether it's a quick pass to Pop Douglas and you have a chance to, like, help him get more yards, if you're not doing that, you're not good enough to just, like, run off a route. Like, no. You can't Randy Moss it and just be like, hey, I got all the attention over here. Like, you need to play, and he's not doing that. So sit him down. Send a message.
So we'll see if they do. I'm still fearful they won't. You know, when they were going to send a message to Ramondre Stevenson, he sat for a possession.
Yeah.
When we asked,
but he's a lot better than
he that. Is. When we asked Marcus Covington about Keon White and if you're going to send a message to him for getting back-to-back personal fouls, he's like, no, we're not going to do that. So I agree. Jerod Mayo threatened to make changes. We'll see if he actually does. We'll see who that's to. But Jalen Polk, to me, is right at the center of all these things Jerod Mayo has to deal with. This game is a big test for Jerod Mayo.
Oh, yeah.
He called out the team. It's a winnable game. It's Drake May with a start under his belt in an international game that you know the owner cares about. You said
loves
this earlier,
it.
Keith.
Yeah.
Like, last year is basically what got Bill fired. Right. Failing on a big stage in Germany against Indianapolis. That was an important game to Robert. Whether you care or not, that was an important game to Robert and Jonathan. And now Jerod Mayo has that game against an absolute dog crap team with Drake May. You can't blame it on Jacoby Brissett. You can't blame it on a strong opponent like last week in the Houston Texans.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a standalone international game, winnable game. Back home, you have issues with players off the field. All season long, you've had issues with players on the field, discipline-wise, production-wise, performance-wise. And add on to it, you have the logistics of an international game, which is not easy on any coach, never mind a rookie head coach in his first trip in charge of everything internationally. So, does he pass the test? Do you trust him to pass the test? And can he get the team to buy in this game? It's very, very, very important to Jerod Mayo. Not his job security, Keith,
right?
But how he's viewed, this is an important game for him and an important test.
I kind of feel like Robert Kraft, for example, is going to look at this game, like we were talking about with how he felt about last year and all the international games that they've played, where he's going to feel worse about a loss than he should, but also probably better about a win than he should.
Yeah.
And so that's a great sign for Jerod Mayo and Alex Van Pelt and all the players or whatever, because if you win, are you 2-5 and you beat the Jaguars? Like, if you look at it that way, but I think they're going to say, well, you stop a losing streak. This was a significant game. I care about the international one. We're the only game on TV at the time. The Jaguars are kind of a laughingstock. They might fire their coach. And you had a lot going up against you, and you did it. Oh, you were, by the way, you were 6-point dogs, and you won the game. But, like, also sort of saying that nobody, maybe outside of you and me and a few others, are really straight up predicting them to win. So you are, I guess, a little bit of that adversity, if you will. But he's going to be feeling really good about the win. But the flip side for Mayo, unfortunately, is true, too, where if they lose, it's going to be bad. Not that he's in jeopardy losing his job by any means, but it's just like, oh, my God, we're so much further away than we thought.
Maybe the way to put it is last week kind of was a no-stakes game. Drake May's first start, Super Bowl contender. Like, no one really expected you to win that game. I thought they'd cover. I was wrong. I thought they'd be more competitive than they were. I was wrong. But it was kind of a no-stakes game.
Yep.
They lost by 20, and we're all kind of happy about it.
This is the filet mignon of games.
This is a game with
most steaks.
Steaks.
Yep.
The A1 steaks. The tomahawk steak.
Yep.
Of games. And so, yeah, you can't go out and lay an egg. Not against a team like Jacksonville, because it'll start to reflect on you and the job you're doing. And trust me, at 1-5, we have tons of questions. But you beat Jacksonville when you're a dog in London.
Their home away from home.
Which is a game that matters to your owner and their home away from home. Then all of a sudden you can start to turn things around and say, okay, well, we're two starts in with Drake May. Now we're winning the games we should win. That we'll look at the team a lot differently than if they lose it.
Good point by one of the texters. If Polk makes that catch, is Brissett still the quarterback?
Ew. Yeah, well, probably. Actually.
I shudder to think.
Yeah,
texter, but you might be right.
He probably is.
So maybe Polk actually
they beat Miami.
He sabotaged him on purpose.
Polk saved the season.
All right, what do you do with Polk? Are you play? I wouldn't play him at all. What do you do?
I wouldn't play him. I'm with you on that.
What do you think happens?
My replacement, I think he probably plays the normal amount.
Do you think they target him
early,
like specifically, like they did with Pop Douglas?
I think they might.
That'd be insanity.
Yeah,
I mean,
like, well, maybe not that early, but like first quarter target. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's out there. I think he gets a first quarter target. What he does with it, I have no idea. Can he catch it? Can he stay in bounds? Probably no and probably no.
I'm going to say he's inactive. I think this is going to be Mayo probably also hearing the criticisms of how they handled Stevenson and sort of responded. Like, he probably wasn't going to sit him in the game that he did until he heard about it.
Definitely
and then
not.
Now people are still kind of chirping at him about that. So I think he's going to kind of swing the other way.
Let's ask this. If he sits Jalen Polk, or if Jalen Polk is inactive, whose call do you think that was? Mayo's?
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
Mayo is one where I'm like, okay, that one's probably, or I'm sorry, the level of player Jalen Polk is.
Kraft might not even know who that guy is right now.
Well,
that's not even an insult. You think he knows who Polk is?
Well, he knew who Tom Brady was, Keith. He was the pick. You're our pick one. No. They died out of Michigan.
No, I'm saying that's more of an insult for Polk than it is an insult for Kraft.
Yeah,
like, he hasn't done enough for you to even know who he is.
Yeah, I bet that one's Mayo's call. I wasn't sure about Ramondre Stevenson and the quarterback and stuff like the level of
play. Well, the quarterback's different. I mean, even Stevenson might have been Mayo's fault, and that's why he changed it a few times.
See, I don't think that one was Mayo because...
What, sitting him for a series in-game or sitting him for a series the next game?
Maybe the in-game thing was his, but the next game definitely I don't think was Mayo's call because he had already played him all those times. So this one I think would be up to Jerod Mayo, and it would speak to him... You know, having some line that he doesn't want players to cross, but I don't know. I think he'll be scared off by it. I think he'll say, I don't want to lose the player, and the player accused me of saying,
yeah,
you know, he had mental problems, which is not what Jerod Mayo said at all. And, yeah, I wonder if he'll go the other way on it.
Yeah, I know. But receiver is also a lot different than the other positions, right? So Drake May or Brissett, pretty serious decision. You can see it on the field. Even Ramondre, usually there's one back on the field for them, and you're like, all right, he's out there or he's not out there. The receivers and the different formations and the playing time, like sometimes it's afterwards where I'm like, oh, Kayshon Booty had a lot of playing time.
Yeah,
like, you remember the one catch, but you don't remember that he's out there all the time.
I didn't realize he played as much as he did against Miami.
So there's three different things they can do with Polk. He either plays a lot, like the same.
They don't target him.
Or he's like a healthy, or he's a active DNP, because that's happened with receivers all season long.
Yeah, basically happened with Thornton 2 weeks ago. Yeah,
and then he went from that to just straight up inactive. So the other part of it is, did Javon Baker, who's apparently out sick today, or Tyquan Thornton, did either of those guys do enough the last week to get into the lineup?
Well, let me ask you in a different way. If Jalen Polk is inactive, who's out there?
I bet it's just more KJ Osborne, who was basically active
but
didn't play. That's my bet. I would hope that it's Baker.
Me too.
Swap out one rookie for the other, see if he can make the most of his opportunity. Right, for a lot of the guys, if you're sixth on the depth chart, you're kind of waiting for... There's only so much you can do at practice. So you're waiting for a guy to get hurt, or you're waiting for a guy to pop off like Polk did.
Or Kayshon Booty. Like, I didn't think much of Kayshon Booty out there on the field. I didn't even notice him out on the field with Jacoby Brissett against Miami. He played a ton of snaps. I didn't notice him.
Yeah, make the most of your opportunity.
Maybe,
Polk's the one guy who like really isn't.
Maybe Drake May will make you notice him.
Yeah.
Text 37937. These are good. Guys, the Patriots coaching staff is so overwhelmed, it's not funny.
Possible.
That will be a big takeaway if they lose to Jacksonville is on the verge of firing their coach and switching their quarterback. They're a joke. They can't stop anybody. If the Patriots lose this game, I do think they're overwhelmed, but you might call off the dogs for a week.
So I think
they'll be foaming at the mouth if they lose this game.
So Jacksonville's the more desperate team, but this can also work against you because if the players don't want Doug Peterson, then they know that like
they're
already
like,
gone.
Like if we just lose this one, and we have a long flight back, he won't survive the flight, and then somebody else will be in charge. That's true.
Were they playing for him against the Bears? Didn't look like it.
No.
But now that this is a...
That's a good point. If
sink or swim for him.
If they're done with him,
then
they might just lay down in this game.
Right.
Oh,
that's a few hams on the path.
An extra ham?
I just talked myself into it.
Talk yourself into an extra ham.
Yep.
Here we go. The Jags are lousy, but they do have experience.
They're lousy.
Not as
lousy,
easy.
Lousy's such a great...
Lousy. Yeah. Lousy. But they do have experience, not as easy as you would think. I don't know. I mean,
what's
I
their experience? What does he mean by that?
Well,
like just London experience?
Well, I would imagine just in London games, but is it a more veteran team than the Patriots? Probably, off the top of my head, probably.
I don't know. I mean,
well, how about just that
quarterback? Trayvon Walker's in his third year.
How about just a quarterback?
Yeah, quarterback?
You have a guy. So, I mean,
Brian Thomas might be there, and Tank Bigsby?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're pretty young to me.
No, it's true. Maybe I
don't. No, but Lawrence, obviously, has way more starts than Drake May,
and their coach is more experienced. I mean, he might be on the verge of getting fired, but he's more experienced. That's true.
For Pete's sake,
out-coach Bill Belichick. Also, this one: how bad would it be if somebody in London or somebody from the Patriots got arrested in London?
So, yeah, that'd be bad. What do they call those guys over there?
Do you rule that out? A bloke?
Is that what they call the cops over there?
Oh no,
the Bobby. The Bobby. What do they get? The Bobby on them. They wear the hats and stuff. Or that
they run batons?
No, the Bobbies.
Like Buckingham Palace type stuff?
Yeah.
They get in there? Some of those guards?
Yeah. Yeah. What do you call them? Palace Guard?
I wouldn't rule it out is what I would say.
No, how could you rule anything out with this team discipline-wise? On the field, off the field, how could you rule any of it out?
But so this texter says, Polk is the best receiver on the team, and he had a bum throwing to him most of the year and still got yards. Let me just address
Polk's
this real quick.
Listening from London, nice.
Yeah, let me just address this real quick.
Yeah.
First of all, he did not get a lot of yards. That's not true.
If you're counting that 50-yard catch that I think he had against the 49ers, that would be a lot more yards.
They've all had the same quarterbacks throwing them the ball, and he's still sixth in yards. So the other five had the same quarterback situation.
And two guys had career highs last week with
Drake
May.
That's what I was going to say. They finally had a breakout game. He had a horrible game. He had drops. He had drops. And I think, listen, I get what the text is saying. I want him to be the best receiver on the team, but there's no way in hell you can watch these six games and even the preseason and say that he's the best receiver. He's not better than Pop Douglas.
No.
There's no way. At least right now.
That's wish casting. You know, the draft capital invested, you say, all right, maybe he could be a future
he's
number one.
He's drafted highest, but N'Keal Harry was drafted higher than everybody on the roster that year. Yeah, that's the worst.
That didn't mean much. 617-779-7937. We have your phone calls there. You can jump in, Patriots and Jaguars, your expectations for Drake May in start number two. And we have the week in review next.
It's certainly been a week.
Yeah, why don't you feel him out here, Keith?
Here's some of the best.
Get the chainsaw!
There's a whale at the compound! Get the chainsaw! Get everybody pile in the minivan, chainsaw. We're going!
And worst...
You guys are as bad as the announcers.
It's Jones and Keith's Week in Review.
The guy sucks! Get him out of here!
On WEEI.
All right, time for our Week in Review here on Jones and Keith, WEEI. What a week it has been, Jones. Let me tell you. And let's go back to Monday, shall we? Every Patriots Monday, we speak to a couple of Patriots players. Patriots Friday, we talk to a player as well as a coordinator, Jeremy Springer, earlier today.
Very
excellent.
Popular. People enjoy
Jeremy Springer.
Jeremy Springer, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, he's excellent. The players, we've talked to a variety of players. I don't think it's fair to rank them.
We shouldn't.
But Kendrick Bourne's the best. And he was on the show Monday, and we asked him about Drake May. For those that missed it, what can you tell us about Drake May's aura?
It's actually like it's mellow. It's not loud. You know what I'm saying? Like when you approach him, he won't come off as like somebody that will try to big time you. Or I think I'm bigger than the team. Or I'm the third overall pick. Like he knows that. He understands who he is, and that's huge. You know, when you know who you are as a person personally, and then you know who you are as a football player, what you mean to a team. There's an aura to you. Like when you talk to the owner, when you talk to your head coach, they know that you understand this about yourself. So that aura is just important as a player. You know, I've learned these things when I was younger of, you know, creating a name for yourself, and you have to carry yourself a certain way. So he's just definitely professional, and when you get around him, like he don't talk a lot. He's not a loud person, but you know he's confident when you talk to him, when you stand around him, when you're around him. So I just love that he has that to him, because as a player, you got to be confident, and I think that's why he believes in himself so much.
Mm, great answer.
Big.
I'm also calling breakout game for Bourne this week. I don't know what his number is. I'm sure it's a low number, whether it's like 20, 30, 40.
I think each of the
yards.
First two games he's had like two catches.
Not much.
I'll double check that. But yeah, this is the week he pops off.
I could see this being the week, especially because I really think Polk either, if Polk plays, I don't think it'll be as much as he normally plays. And if Van Pelt's talking about how he's sort of the top target on a lot of those routes, Kendrick Bourne, third week back from the injury, he's talked about playing better or feeling better the first couple of weeks. So I would say Kendrick Bourne. Look for him to have a couple
Bourne,
big catches.
2 for 9, 1 for 6.
Yeah.
In the first two games.
So I bet you could parlay that.
Sprinkle a little bit on there. I'll tell you what, in that interview, Keith, he liked your questions.
He did.
He said a couple of great questions from Keith.
No big deal.
Yeah, Jeremy Springer today even said, you're right about who we should have back on the kick return. Like,
yeah, that's a great question, man.
Agreed.
Two of those.
Yeah, basically, Jeremy Springer, without saying it, was like, yeah, I don't know why we have Hasty back here either. He's horrible at it.
I wouldn't have him on the team either.
I don't think he would. Now, do you think that's his call? Because he had a good answer for why Hasty's returning kicks. He's like, that guy takes a pounding, but I think he would prefer like Marcus Jones.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, it sounds like the coaching staff is like, we're not giving you Marcus Jones on kick returns.
Yeah, like, who are my choices?
I mean,
you can have Hasty or Hasty.
He has him returning punts.
Right.
So, you know, my guess is that's not his
call. Yeah, just because he took a lot of hits. All right, the Bozo TD Parlay is locked in for this week. If you missed it, at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram, we have our five touchdown scores for the weekend. Now, 5 is a decent sized parlay, but what about 12?
Wow.
12. Well, wow. Matt in Lewinberg, one of our listeners, had a 12-leg parlay, and he had a question for us, and then you'll see how it all worked out.
Emergency parlay question. Yesterday, I placed 3 whole hams on a 12-leg parlay.
Wow.
Sure. I have hit, up to this point, 11 of those 12.
What?
I can cash out. Yes. I could cash out right now for $1,800.
Okay, cash out.
Or if the Bills win, I get $4,600.
Yeah, I don't like the Bills tonight.
Just win.
If I liked the Bills, I would say let it ride. I don't. This is dead cap bounce response from Robert. I don't like the Bills at all in this
Nailed
game,
it.
To be honest.
One day later.
The newly increased bank account and not listening to me specifically. Congrats.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the cash out kids. I just have one request.
What is that?
Since I was right and you guys were wrong.
Sure.
Since today is the holiest of days. Tier Tuesday, Matt's 12-leg parlay be the number one tier.
Wow.
You got it.
I think we can do it. That's a great idea, Matt.
Absolutely. How about that? There's an example of not listening to us. He got 3 extra grand.
Yeah, he asked us just to go the opposite way, I think.
He's like, should I cash out?
And we were both like, yes. And that's
$1,800 is pretty amazing.
Cashing out is very, very atypical for me. I'm not pro cashing out, but right there it happened right there.
Like it.
I didn't like that leg.
Didn't sound like
and
it.
Cash out Keith, you know if you
go ahead.
Don't even bother asking the
could
question.
Could have been 4 hams. Like 3 hams into 4 hams?
Yeah.
I had 11 cash legs out. Of a parlay. Like,
Okay. Good job by Matt and Lunenburg. And we did follow through. We did
how amazing is that
we
though?
We put him on the top tier.
Just, I mean, we're talking about like the money and the cashing in, cashing out, etc. He got 12 games right.
I couldn't. I mean, how long would it take? How many weeks would it take me to get 12 NFL games right? A whole
lot. It's insane.
A whole bunch.
Because there's only, with the bye weeks and Thursday Night Football, is that every game that he did? He probably did every game.
Well,
maybe there's
he might have done some props. I don't know that he did all games. Do we know he did all games?
Yeah, because he actually.
Oh, yeah, he did
send a screenshot. We know he was lying. He sent
a
screenshot.
You're right.
It looked like it was all just money line picks.
Huh.
I mean, that's good for him.
Very, very impressive, yeah.
Well, he obviously had the Lions because they blew out the Dallas Cowboys this past weekend, and Jerry Jones stopped by for his weekly radio appearance, and things didn't go great.
Now, if you think I'm interested in on a damn phone call with you over a radio and sitting here and throwing all the good out with the dishwater, you have got to be smoking something over there this morning. I'm not. And I really don't, and I don't even want our listeners to listen to me, to talk about, this is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something, and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job.
Well, my job is to ask
get
why.
A job, or I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
Jerry, we're trying to figure out why the team is.
I'm not kidding you. I'm not kidding you. You're not going to figure out what the team is doing right or wrong. If you are, or any 5 or 10 like you, you need to come to this meeting I'm going to today. There are 32 teams here. You're geniuses.
there's a lot there. They're on a bye this week, so you can't watch the Cowboys to see how they bounce back from Jerry's little meltdown.
No, it's true. I'm trying to Shan Sharif, I think, is the interviewer's name, who kind of tweeted something clapping back at Jerry Jones. I'm trying to find it.
It wasn't a great clapback, though.
But it was something like, "If
he doesn't pay us.
He doesn't pay us." Exactly. Like, it's like, all right, dude. He probably pays something in some capacity. And, you know, every once and then. Every once and then you got to toe the company line.
So this Sunday, 9:30, Patriots and Jaguars from London. On the call, not Rich Eisen. He gets a week off from the International Series.
Oh?
Is going to be Chris Rose.
Okay.
Chris Rose. That got us down a conversation this week.
Yeah, what's his resume?
Well, you guys want Tom Arnold and Chris Rose talking sports, but like in like a laid back kind of fun way?
Yeah.
We got you covered.
Yeah, well, don't forget about John Sally.
John Sally. Rob Dibble, Rodney Pete.
They also
brought in Brian Cox.
Oh, well, I do actually like that.
Yeah. John Kruk.
Nice.
Stephen A. Smith came in
Let
there.
Let me tell you,
Stephen, this show is pretty good.
Was this show awesome?
There's a tone setter.
What a
wagon. Well, you know
Lisa
what?
Guerrero? All right,
relax,
dude. Relax. It's a married woman.
And you're a married man.
Keep her away from Lucky.
Actually, she was married.
Yeah. Oh,
the plot thickens. Scott Erickson. She was married to... random baseball player of the day, Scott Erickson, for a while.
Nice. Spoiler alert. It's coming your way. So there
Guys,
you go.
Guys, it's Scott Erickson.
So let me answer your question. Am I ready for Chris Rose? Now I am.
Yeah, Reggie Theus?
Reggie Theus came
Jillian
up.
Jillian Bobbery part of that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was.
I don't think so.
Not enough.
She wasn't at all.
Oh, I think she was on. Like, I think she did Fox. She did Fox for
Oh,
a
she
while.
Didn't want to. I'm just, I mean, this is the
she
Wikipedia
might have done,
page.
Like, weather updates for Fox Sports
yep.
on Sundays.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, it's going to rain.
Yeah, tell me about those cumulus clouds.
I love how we start down that road of like what a lame show. They're like, actually, that show's great.
Actually, that
best day of sports show period.
Why was I not watching that show?
Look at the panelists on that show. They sat on couches. It was like an everyman show. They were the first show to sit on couches.
Oh yeah,
nobody was doing that. They all had like a stuffy desk everywhere you turn. Stuffy desk.
Yeah.
Then best damn sports show period shows up and they're like, oh, you can wear a t-shirt. You can even wear a hat.
You can
whatever the hell you want.
Sit down.
Wearing a chair. Maybe like a sectional. Put your feet up.
I'll tell you,
sports.
NBC Sports Boston would do like that 3-hour show at night for a while.
I
Keith,
remember that.
I know you were a part of.
I did do some of that, yeah.
They had like a comfy couch on that. Sometimes they'd be like, hey, we're going to stick you guys on the comfy couch.
Yeah, I didn't know how to sit in it.
No, me either.
They might have had a bot, too, on Best Damn Sports Show.
Oh, I bet they did.
Of course they did.
Ready for the tapping.
Yeah, that's true.
Real loose.
Yeah, how many beers do you think John Kruk was hammering at that thing?
You would think the couch would be like, hey, this is comfortable. But when you're on a television program,
you don't know how to sit.
Do I sit up? Do I lean back?
What was I'm in a jacket.
What do I do with my feet?
Maybe that was my first mistake. I need to dress down more.
That's right.
Shorts, jacket.
T-shirt.
This belt's tighter than I want it to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not comfortable.
I'm very uncomfortable.
That's not how I'm sitting at home.
Pants.
Like real pants.
Like
real,
not for me.
Yeah, not sweatpants.
Like
real
belts
pants.
And buttons.
I can't do it. Zippers even.
Yeah.
Any kind of waist that's not stretchy.
Yeah, but it turns
Can
out.
Can we wear hoodies and sweats?
Yeah, seriously. If you want me to be comfortable, let me wear this.
It turns out we wanted to rip on that show.
No,
when we were digging
show.
In on Chris Rose's history, and it turns out that was probably a good show.
I always thought Tom Arnold was a strange hire, but like. Gave him a little gravitas.
Yeah, you want Iowa sports takes. You want some Hawkeye takes.
Yeah.
He's got
the everyman.
Yeah. There you go. Everyman.
Right.
Exactly.
You want the best supporting actor from True Lies? You got him. He's talking sports now.
Remember
with you.
Carpool?
Yeah. You remember remember Roseanne?
I was going to say, good cameos on Roseanne. He was quite entertaining on Roseanne.
No, not John Goodman, but her real husband. We can't get John Goodman.
What was his name on Roseanne? Arnie?
He wasn't on it yet.
Arnie. Yeah.
Married to Sandra Bernhardt on that show.
Yeah, for a time.
Good catch.
For a time. They split.
Well, 50% of all marriages do end, sadly, in divorce. But anyway, there's your week in review.
Well, that was all of it.
Some of the best of the week.
That's what we had.
That's it. I feel like a hell of a week.
I mean, if you didn't like it, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
That's what we did.
It's all in there.
That's the week in review here on Jones and Keefe. You can chime in, 617-779-7937. What's that?
You know what's on the way.
What's that now?
Santa Claus?
I was gonna say Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. No, Jones.
Couple of
Lanny,
Keith.
It's time
couple
for of keys coming up. Keys to the game, big tilt.
Okay, so
in
all,
look.
In all honesty,
yeah,
okay.
Be serious for a minute.
No, there's a lot of people out there who go, I want to bet the game this weekend.
Thinking about it.
But I don't really have all the inside information, right? I don't know everything I need to know about this game. So how can I gain an edge, a competitive edge against Vegas?
Well,
this is where you get it.
I got a pretty good idea for you.
Keefe's Keys to Patriots and Jaguars next.